Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Little bit of a different time to this morning with Dr. Kara Crist as she joins us. And welcome to the show. Thanks for doing this again, Doctor.
Thank you.
I've got a lot of questions about COVID-19 and the Delta variant, but let's start off with your making the switch and taking a job in the private sector. Did you ever imagine when you took this job that you would end up being a media, we'd be seeking you so much that you'd be basically a household name in Arizona?
No, I would not have imagined that when I took this job many years ago.
Are you recognized in public quite a bit?
I am. When I go out, I do get recognized.
So what's that like?
It's a little strange. So my kids, I don't go out in public a lot. But when I do, my kids were just, they were amazed that people knew who I was as we were walking down the aisle. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, I'm sure. So let's talk about the Delta variant. We're hearing a lot of mixed information. The governor was on the show yesterday and was talking about what he believes to be the mixed message from the federal government about vaccinated people and getting masked up and wearing masks. Where do you stand on the mask and vaccinated people wearing masks now with the Delta variant?
You know, it's a recommendation that CDC made that people, if they're vaccinated and they're going to be around others they don't live with indoors, they recommend wearing a mask. We know that being fully vaccinated is the best way to prevent getting COVID-19. If you are unvaccinated, you definitely should wear a mask when you are out in public.
Do you think that it's going to discourage people that are unvaccinated to get vaccinated if they feel like things won't change and they don't have to wear, or they still have to wear masks indoors?
You know, I think it is one reason that people could say they don't want to get vaccinated. I know that there's a lot of reasons out there, but it is safe. It's the best tool we have to prevent hospitalizations and deaths. We would recommend going and getting vaccinated today.
The president said yesterday that we must open all schools this fall, that it's important for the emotional and educational well-being of children. Where do you stand on that?
I agree. The most important and safe place for kids to be is in school for a variety of public health reasons. And we have said that since the beginning of the pandemic. And so, you know, doing everything we can to keep our kids safe while they're in school. The lucky thing, if there's anything lucky about this pandemic, is that it doesn't seem to have the same impacts on kids that it does on adults.
I remember vividly watching one of the updates, and you were giving updates, and one of the things you were talking about was suicide rates, attempts, thoughts about suicide among young people, and you became a bit emotional by reading some of those statistics. There has been a huge increase in attempts and thoughts of suicide among young people. It's taken a big emotional toll on them.
Yes, this has taken a big emotional toll. We have, nationally seen increases in attempts of, you know, that are coming to the emergency room. We believe that part of that had to do with the social isolation and the worry about the pandemic. And one of the things that is protective is for kiddos to go to school, and they've got a lot of support around them. That's one of the reasons that we were so eager to get kids back into the classroom.
One of the things that's been said out there is that there has been a rift between you and the governor on this mask thing, and that's why you're leaving. Can you dispel that rumor?
Yes, I've seen that rumor, and that is absolutely not true. There is no rift between Governor Ducey and I. We feel exactly the same. It is a recommendation that the CDC made. If people who are fully vaccinated are going to be around people that they don't live with, consider wearing a mask. But it is a choice. It will not be mandated in Arizona. And I love working for the governor and his team.
He was in studio with us yesterday. I don't know if you heard it, but I would like for you to hear what the governor had to say yesterday when your name came up.
Kara Crist is among the finest public servants that I have ever worked with. She's the finest in her position in the country. She's going for an incredibly great job in the private sector with one of the best healthcare providers in the country. So I'm very happy for her. I'm going to miss her a lot. I think she put in a decade worth of work in the last year and a half.
How do you respond?
I think that is very, very kind. I am if it wasn't this exact opportunity, I wouldn't be leaving. And so I really enjoy and I feel exactly the same way about working for him.
When you look back on, COVID-19 is really what you're going to be remembered being the director during this time. Looking back at the totality of how this has been handled here in the state of Arizona, your part in the shutdowns, but also in the vaccination rollout, how you were recognized nationally, how would you sum up your time in this office?
I would say that this definitely has been a once in a lifetime experience, and I'm so grateful that I got to be with this team during this time. I can't imagine having had a different governor or a different team here at the department, and I think that this is probably going to be a time I remember for the rest of my life.
Have you talked to the governor about a replacement? Is there anybody out there that you're recommending, or have you had any input on that?
You know, we are going to be taking a look at potential options. I know he said that he wanted to do a national search, and so I am happy to assist in any way that he needs me moving forward.
So what would you say to somebody that's a potential candidate for this position? Would you recommend them to take it?
I would recommend them to take it. I think whoever comes in is going to have a wonderful team of extremely smart experts who care about Arizonans. There's no better job than taking care of the health and wellness of our state, and they get to work with a fabulous team in the governor's office. I would say jump at the chance if you get this opportunity.
You know, Dr. Crist, it's always been a pleasure to talk with you. I always appreciate the information you give us, your graciousness, and always coming on the show, being pulled in so many different directions. And I'm sad that we're probably, I'm sure you're not, that we're not going to talk much anymore. I'm sure you're sick of the spotlight. But from my personal perspective, I'm so grateful that you came on. You talked to the audience very often. Even when the news wasn't good that was out there, you were always gracious with your time. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on. It really helps us get the message out.
Well, good luck in your new endeavor, and Godspeed.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. That's Dr. Kara Crist, Arizona. She's the director of the Arizona Department of Health Services, soon to take the job with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Just wanted to get some perspective, interesting takes on some things. In a moment, we're going to talk about the election audit. We're going to shift gears. But sincerely, a special thank you to Dr. Crist. Very difficult position to be in. A lot of criticism that she took very well. I don't know how it was handled behind the scenes, but on the surface, she was so professional about what she did and her willingness to come on and speak, even when people were being critical, I thought was amazing. So we wish her well, and a big thank you for coming on the show. In a moment, we talk election audit. Stick around.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
And thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the show. Want to remind you that hunger is one of the greatest threats to our community. And right now you can help our friends in the afternoon, Gatos and Chad, with Food Bank Fridays. Now they are trying to help provide 100,000 meals to St. Mary's Food Bank. Again, the organization St. Mary's Food Bank does so much great work here in the Valley feeding hungry people. They are so efficient with the donations that they get. Every dollar you donate provides enough money for 7 meals. That's how efficient they are. So imagine how much you can help people on this Friday. It's called Food Bank Friday. And if you want to jump in, there's no donation that's too small. And you're providing meals for hungry people right here in the Valley with a great organization like St. Mary's Food Bank. Just text the word food to 411-923. That's how you can donate. Food to 411-923. The Stop the Steal nonprofits paying the cyber ninjas and millions for the Arizona election audit is the big headline. Who is paying for it? We always talk about follow the money. I've had a lot of disagreements with people about this audit, and unfortunately, a lot of my biggest fears seem to be coming true so far with what we know. I've also held out and said I've actually had conversations with leaders of the audit about my disagreement with them. They've been gracious with me to have conversations, and I've told them if I'm wrong, I will come on the air and I will do my mea culpa and lay out why I'm wrong about this audit. I have no problem with the leaders of this audit. I think they're good people that want the right thing done. From Senator Karen Fann to Randy Pullen and to Ken Bennett, the Senate liaison, My problem is with the company that they hired. I don't even know if they're good people. They might be, but they were predisposed, and they've made way too many mistakes in the middle of this thing for them to be reputable and for them to be believable. And then all of the conspiracy theories that have rolled out behind it. They've had their Twitter accounts suspended because of the nonsense. You know, when you're doing an audit, you're also at the same time what they were doing is fueling the conspiracy theories. This gets leaked and that gets leaked. And then it gets spread around to people. And then what happens is when you give them legitimate criticism, they say, well, why don't you just wait and see the final report? Well, they aren't waiting to see the final report. Their Twitter account is leaking information. Others are leaking information. Ken Bennett, who is heading up this audit, has had to come out and say that's not true about the 74,000 ballots and about other things. At the same time, you've got the documentarian. His last name is Byrne. This is the guy that's donated the most amount of money to pay for this audit. No wonder his documentary crew was allowed into the audit floor. No wonder why Ken Bennett was prominently displayed in all of this. No wonder why the head of the Cyber Ninjas months ago did an interview saying that he believed the election was stolen. No wonder why he was hired. That's what everybody is going to say. There are a lot of very professional auditing companies that are professionals and experts at election audits that were passed over for the Cyber Ninjas. The state of Arizona said we could have gotten another company for another $300,000, but this company was $150,000. Well, there's two things. I'm not real big on government spending, but if you are going to do the most important audit that the country has ever seen on elections, and it's the first time anything like this has ever been done, why would you go with less than the best experts? I can't think of a reason to do that other than who's pulling the strings, who's paying the bills. So a court, on a couple of different occasions, at the very beginning of the audit process, they were taken to court. The auditors were taken to court about transparency, which ironically is what the county is angry about. I'm sorry, the state is angry about with the county and others, lack of transparency. Well, they did not want to be transparent about their practices or the things they were doing. They said it was going to break and give away some trade secrets. A judge said the people of Arizona have a right to know, made them do that. And then what happened toward the end of the audit was they were taken to court and they were told that they have to release data on who's paying for this. When you look at the groups that are paying for this, when you follow the money, it's one more reason why people are going to say this is a rigged audit. And I'm not trying to mock them by using the word rigged, but that's what people are going to say. The impression of this to the average person. Now, I am kind of an anomaly because I am somebody that is, you're not getting rid of me in the Republican Party. I'm telling the people that think that they're getting rid of me. You may not ask me to come and speak to your group anymore. You may be upset with me because I disagree with this audit, but I'm not going anywhere. I don't owe anybody anything. They don't owe me anything, and I have a right to my opinion. And unfortunately for you, I get paid to give my opinion. And until they stop paying me, I'm going to do it behind this microphone as honestly as I can. I want what's best for Arizona like everyone else does. I want us to be able to win from a Republican perspective to win the elections in 2022. I don't think this gets us here. I think the appearances are becoming more and more clear when you see who's paying for this, how they're connected to each other. And, you know, we did this with Adam Schiff and the others. I connected the dots with the dossier going back. You remember the dossier against President Trump that they called evidence that was debunked almost immediately and almost completely with information that was in it? I connected the dots between the guy that wrote the dossier. He was the guy that was hired. He worked for a company with a lady that whose husband was with the Department of Justice at the time. There was so much nepotism and so many connected parts in all of that. It was so apparent to people that looked closely that there was way too deep of a connection going on. And when you look at this, it's the same way. It's just now it's on the other side of the political aisle. I empathize. I feel for the people that believe that this election was stolen. I feel for you. This isn't lip service. I honestly do, because this audit has been a train wreck. And it's been a train wreck to the average person, not to the person out there that leans one way or the other or believes deeply one way or the other. The average person that just wants to see evidence one way or the other and let's move on. They are not emotionally invested in this whatsoever. The appearances of this are not conjured up by the media. They haven't been made up by the media. This is the evidence and this is the attitude that's been given out. Every bit of information that's come out of this audit that's been leaked out or otherwise in the rumors have been about a stolen election. And they've been leaked out by people inside the Cyber Ninjas or inside that organization through the Twitter account and other places. And now we're seeing who's paying for this. You wonder why did the documentary crew get allowed in? Because the guy running the documentary crew was the one that paid for the audit. Why is the Cyber Ninja guy in the middle of that documentary? Well, he's being paid by the guy. That's where the $5.7 million, most of it, had come from. Follow the money. And it doesn't look good. And if you don't understand the appearances, then you're not paying attention, because we all hated it when it was happening to Donald Trump by the left. This is way too biased. Coming up in a moment, we're going to talk about registered voters and how this topic I'm just talking about, how is stuff like this affecting the average voter? It's very interesting information. We're going to talk about that coming up in a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the show. Let's talk about the fallout. I've been talking quite a bit recently about the audit and where I think it takes us in the wrong direction. We talked about people dumping out of the voter rolls. Parties are losing. There is a great story. This is an ABC 15 story about voter registrations and what's happening here in the state of Arizona. There are now 4.32 million registered voters in Arizona. The state voter rolls grew by 28,000 voters in this latest study. 90% of those people, 90% of the new voters registrations in Arizona are for other, not necessarily independent, but other. 90% not going for Republicans, not going for Democrats. Now, there are still more Republicans than any other party at almost 1.5 million, 1.499. And actually, it's about 38 voters short of 1.5 million. The next closest at 1.4 is independent or other. And then the Democrats have 1.3. So to the Republicans out there and everybody listening, but to the Republicans specifically, there's been a saying here over the last few years because of the migration of people to the state of Arizona, especially from California, people leaving tax, you know, the high tax state there, bringing businesses to Arizona. People have been saying, don't California my Arizona. And this has been a mantra for people. Republicans in Arizona have watched shrinking majorities in the House and the Senate. When I moved here in 1995, there were only seven congressional seats at the time. Five of them were held by Republicans and two of them were held by Democrats. It was 5-2, both Republican senators and John McCain and John Kyle. We have now seen since 1995, we have watched what was almost a supermajority of Republicans in the state legislature down to one seat or two seats in each chamber. We have seen the majority of congressional representation be Democrats, and both of our senators are now Democrats. They are the third. They are in third place. They are the lowest in party registration, except for Libertarians, but as far as the major parties go, and you factor in independents, they're third on the list. 150,000 less Democrat voters than there are Republicans, which means independent voters or those that register as other are siding with Democrats more and more and more in elections. And if the Republicans don't get their arms around this and figure out why this is happening, that they have, if they keep saying they can go it alone, they cannibalize their own. There is this rift within the Republican Party. And I believe there's a rift in the Democrat Party, too, except they've come together more than the Republicans have. Kyrsten Sinema is very popular as a senator here in the state of Arizona. Very popular. She is immensely unpopular with her party. So we're not going to blame this just on the one party. But when you look at what's happened with this audit and you look at what happens, not so much that it's being done, But the way it's being done and the attitudes of the people that support it versus the ones that don't. I'll be very honest. I honestly do not care about the vitriol toward me. I don't think it's widespread. I think it's childish, and I don't care. I am very strong in my beliefs. I am very strong in the ground I'm standing on. I am always willing to have a civil conversation with people I know or that I don't know about why I believe what I believe. But most people are not as engaged as I am because I do this for a living. Believe me, if I didn't do this for a living, I wouldn't even talk to or about any of this. When you have something that is so important to you as this audit and you put it front and center above all of the other issues, when you look at what Arizona has accomplished economically, while other states are raising taxes, Arizona just cut taxes. This governor and this legislature cut taxes to small businesses and to people across this state at saying we are taking in more money than we need to take in. So we are going to give this money back to the taxpayers. That's almost unheard of in America. Republicans should be waving that like a banner all over the state of Arizona saying, who else gives you back your money? But instead, we're going after the governor for this or going after the governor for that. And instead of looking at accomplishments that are really based in conservative principles, we are angry at people. They're angry at the governor because he certified the election that he was bound to do it by law. You can disagree with him, but you're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater when these accomplishments are happening. So I'm looking at these numbers and I'm saying the blaming this on Californians coming to Arizona and that's why people are losing elections is such a false flag. It is such a fantasy. Democrats are the lowest in major party voting rolls. Republicans are number one. Independents are number two. Democrats are number three. And yet we've been watching them close the gap in elections all over the state. Legislative districts for both the House and the Senate. We've got a Democrat that is our Secretary of State. She is now their front runner candidate to be governor. And the infighting that is happening in the state and the blame game that it's other people to blame just is false. And if Republicans don't look at this and say we have got to do something within our party to bring unity and bring people back together, that we can disagree, but when it comes time to go to the polls, we have to be unified. You are going to see dramatic changes even beyond what we've seen so far. We've got two Democrat senators, as I said, so our D.C. representation as a majority of Democrats in a state that's run by mostly Republicans. Now, people talk about gerrymandering districts. That doesn't say anything about a statewide race like a Senate seat. Both senators are Democrats. Well, those were bad candidates. Okay. You've got a huge advantage in voter registration against the Democratic Party, and you need to split the vote with the independents, and you didn't do that. That's what happened. And it's going to continue to happen. Six major statewide races in the state of Arizona in 2022. The governor, the attorney general, the Secretary of State, the Superintendent of Public Instruction, the State Treasurer, and Mark Kelly has to run for a full term in the United States Senate. Those six races. If the Republican Party doesn't get it together, you're going to watch something dramatic happen where we're going to see a lot of those seats go the way of the Democrats. And you want to blame everybody else except what's going on internally. And if people don't get it together, it's going to be ugly. There are a lot of good people running for office as Republicans right now. You should be getting behind those people, and whichever one of those comes out of the primary, you should get behind them. And that's just my opinion on what's happening. It's becoming very obvious to me. What we're going to talk about in a moment is 2020 statistics. I've asked this question, what kind of a city do you want? What kind of a state do you want? Well, we're going to talk about traffic and what's happened across the state of Arizona. I'm going to do a little bit of defense on DPS here in just a moment. Before we do that, though, let me get it over to Jeff Munn. He's got breaking news.
KTAR. Breaking news alert.
This just into the KTAR newsroom. Phoenix Union High School is going against state law and will require masks for in-person learning this school year. Just moments ago, the district announced that all Phoenix Union schools are currently in areas of high or substantial COVID-19 spread, and that the best way to protect students and staff is with the CDC-recommended face mask coverings. This will apply to all 30,000 students and more than 4,000 staff members. Again, despite state law, Phoenix Union High School District will now require masks for all students and staff to start this school year. We'll have more on this breaking news coming up in less than 5 minutes. Get breaking news notifications right to your phone by downloading the KTAR News app. And for more, go to KTAR.com.
Big breaking news from Jeff Munnan here in our KTAR News Department. We're going to talk more about this in a few moments. State law, but is the state law in effect yet? It doesn't go into effect until the budget does. There is a technicality in the law. Governor said yesterday, we should respect what the law says. We're going to talk about this defiance of state law coming up here in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. It is the Mike Broomhead Show. You just heard the announcement here at KTAR News about the Phoenix Union High School District saying that they will be requiring masks for students and staff at the beginning of the school year. Now, this flies in the face of a state law that says we can't have mask mandates. The governor talked about this on the show. I asked him because there was a question about the law going into effect sometime in late September, because that's the way laws are written, that there is a time frame between passage and enactment that allows most of the time it allows people to prepare for the changes in the law. And this was connected to the budget. So all of this goes into effect in late September. Does that mean that this law isn't going to be in effect immediately? He did not address necessarily the technicality of it being enacted yet or not, but he did say this about the law.
In Arizona, there's no mask mandates, there's no vaccine mandates, there's no vaccine passports. I'm going to ask people to follow the law. They can also, of course, listen to the CDC and to their local doctor. I want people to use common sense. And remember, these are recommendations.
So the recommendations, but now the Phoenix Union High School District, which is a very large high school district in the state of Arizona, is now saying they are going to mandate this, flying in the face of what this law says. Now, are they going to be off the hook until the official enactment of this in late September? Would a judge tell them that the day the law goes into effect, they're in violation if they're still doing this? But again, the politics of this makes me laugh hysterically. We have heard and seen nothing from the Phoenix Union High School District throughout this process whatsoever. Nothing. Remember, it was the Phoenix Union High School District that applied for asylum or applied for a waiver so that they didn't have to provide any services out of the schools. When the schools were closed down, there was a requirement for basic services in neighborhoods that still had to be available to kids that had to have those services. With certain exceptions, they gave waivers. And there were some up on the Navajo Nation and some other districts that were given those waivers that they did not have to provide those services. Phoenix applied for one of those waivers and was denied. They had nothing to say during the low times when the numbers were way low. They just didn't say a word. Now, all of a sudden, they're getting vocal. This is 100% political. This is something, again, that divides us and is politicizing things. You want to make recommendations? I said yesterday when Kathy Hoffman, the superintendent, was on with us, you have every right, and I would say even a responsibility, to give the accurate information, all the information that's in this press release about the number of cases that are out there, that every zip code in the district has got either moderate or high spread or whatever, however the verbiage is. All that information is excellent information to send to parents. But what you are doing is saying the parents in our districts are not smart enough to make this decision for themselves, so we are going to make it for you. They don't have the authority, and they don't have the authority according to state law. And I think they're making a big mistake. I think here we go again with the politics, and this is, it's a joke, and it is further division. If you agree with the masks, mask your children. And I believe that we would start this school year in a lot of districts that would be mostly masked up. There's nothing you can do about it except these kind of nonsense rules that further divide people. And the tolerance we have for people that disagree with us is so minimal. And this is a horribly divisive thing that's being done. I saw the accusations online yesterday, and I've defended the governor to a certain extent, but it isn't about defending him. It's about placing blame where it belongs. He's already shut down one district in Flagstaff. No, he didn't. Nobody said that your child is not allowed to wear masks in school. So if the parents don't mask their children in light of the information that's out there, blame them. Don't blame the governor because he didn't force them. The Phoenix Union High School District acts as if they have more information, or they are better at saying this is what's best for your child than you do. And if you agree with this because you agree with masks, just wait until they do something with this precedent being set. We know what's best. You'll do what we say in the school districts. Wait until they want to do something that you disagree with. You're helping to set the precedent. I agree that with the mask idea, I get what people are saying about masks. I understand the statistics on the new Delta variant. Forcing people to do things is not the American way. It isn't. And this is a dividing idea. It's not a unifying idea, and it's going to blow up in their face in the long run. Just after 10 o'clock, we're going to talk about the new strategy being put out by the White House to handle the immigration problem. Will it do it? We'll talk about it.